ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो कंटिन्यूइंग अवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम सेवेंथ कैंटो सेवेंथ चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्न्ड इन द वूम टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 एंड 20। आत्मा नित्यो वय शुद्ध एक क्षेत्रज्ञ आश्रय अविक्रय स्वदृक् हेतु व्यापको असंगयनावृत एते द्वादश भेर्विद्वान् आत्मनो लक्षणै परै अहं ममेति असद्भावम् देहादौ मोहजं त्यजे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। आत्मा रिफर्स टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड और द लिविंग एंटिटीज। बोथ ऑफ देम आर स्पिरिचुअल, फ्री फ्रॉम बर्थ एंड डेथ, फ्री फ्रॉम डिटेरियोरेशन एंड फ्री फ्रॉम मटेरियल कंटेमिनेशन। दे आर इंडिविजुअल, दे आर नोर्स ऑफ द एक्सटर्नल बॉडी and they are the foundation and shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes and they are all pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body and therefore they are uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life, in which one thinks, I am this material body and everything in relationship with this body is mine. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Lord Krishna clearly says, Mamai vamsha jiva loke jiva bhutaha. All living entities are part of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the Supreme amongst all living entities. In Vedas it is said, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. The Lord is the chief individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are part or samples of God, their qualities are non-different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord. Just as a drop of sea water is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus there is oneness in quality, but a difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample, the living entity. Because all the qualities of God exist in minute quantity in the living entity. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anyor Anyan Mahato Mahyan, Kathopanishad. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but the God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think as sky being unlimitedly big, but God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000 the size of a tip of a hair. Yet the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entities, as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. Similarly, it is because of the Supreme Lord is within this universe that the changes dictated by the Lord and the material natures occur. The word ek, meaning individual, is significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, matasthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu avasthitah. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the living entities, exist on the platform of spirit soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that the Supreme Lord is dependent on anything else. Both God and living entity are fully conscious. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas. All these Vedic injunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the minute soul are individual. One is great and another is small, but both of them are the cause of all causes, the corporeally limited and the universally unlimited. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality, we are never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of intelligence, finding themselves equal in quality with God, foolishly think they are equal in quantity also. Therefore, their intelligence is called avishuddha buddhaya, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. When such persons, after endeavoring hard for many lives to understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna, Vasudev, they surrender unto Him. Vasudeva sarvamiti sah mahatma sudurlabha. Thus they become great mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relationships with God, knowing that God is great, Vibhu, whereas living entity is small, Anu, he is perfect in knowledge. The individual exists in darkness when he thinks that his material body and that everything in relationship material body belongs to him. This is called aham mama. This is illusion. One must give up his illusory conception and thus become fully aware of everything. Hare Krishna. So, we are hearing what Prahlad Maharaj learned in the womb from Narad Muni when he was speaking to his mother Kayadu. So, he is learning today about illusion of soul, or we ourselves identifying with the body. And he is also learning the qualities of the soul, and the illusion is manifested in the consciousness of aham mameti iti asad bhavam. And in the end, Narad Muni is ordering him, dehado mohajam tyajet, that one should give up the illusion born out of the body, and ado means all other associates or things that come with the material body. So in this verse, in the purport, we see in most part, Srila Prabhupada is telling the similarity between the soul and the super soul. He is telling the soul and the super soul are all similar in their qualities. The soul is the cause of all causes, and also is the Supreme Lord. When Prabhupada qualifies the statement, the soul is the cause of all causes of the corporally limited, means this material body and the things of this body. And the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes of universally unlimited. We are all cause of all causes, but in some limited frame of reference, what is happening with this body and what will be our next body and what we'll do when we are in this material body. The soul is responsible for everything, when it is encased in a material body. And Supreme Lord, in a similar way, is responsible, is controlling everything on a universal level. Srila Prabhupada also explains this point. He says, just because the soul is within this body, all the activities of the soul, from growth, then increase, production, all these activities are happening with the material body. In a similar way, because Krishna is present in the universe, all the universal activities are happening. The air is flowing within our body, and the air is flowing within the universal creation. And there are rivers and all these things similar to within our body in the form of veins. And then there is something in the universal level. So all the activities, if we see, are happening in a similar way, but in a different scale. Within the and therefore Prabhupada says, we are all samples of God. Prabhupada said, we are also God. In one lecture I was hearing, Prabhupada said, we are all God, but we are all sample God. So we are very minute. And when we receive a sample from a company before ordering, the sample ideally constitutes all the qualities of the latter supply that will come. But the qualities and are in very limited quantity. The latter supply also, the sample is a true sample only when it is similar in all the qualities with the original matter. So actually if we see in this material creation, no one has been able to make a true sample of anything. We see many times in business, we supply samples before getting the order. And we try to get the samples as close to the final order. But we see never it is possible. The samples are always somewhat more or less or different than the final supply. The sample which we receive generally, we may get say sample of a computer. If we want to order 50 computers, that sample will turn out to be the best computer. But when we get the 50 ones, some may be defective, some may be slow, some may be scratched, some may be better than the sample. But Krishna is also expert in this field, that he has made unlimited number of samples, all of us. But all are completely, truly representing Supreme Lord with all the qualities, perfectly. Quantity is different, but quality-wise, all the samples which Krishna has made as souls are actually fully representing Krishna. All the energies present in Krishna are present in the soul. Actually, we can study Krishna by studying ourselves. As Prabhupada says, in one way, we can study the universe by studying this body. And similarly, we can study Krishna by studying the soul. We have a tendency to enjoy, so Krishna has. But his tendencies are pure. We have a tendency to lord over. We have a tendency to move around, to see things, to eat things. All the tendencies are originating from Krishna, but in a different quantity. So actually, to study Krishna, to know Krishna is not difficult. We study ourselves and we can study Krishna. Except we have to remove the material touch that is there with us. If we study a pure soul, we can study Krishna. And if we study the body, we can understand the universe. Because we are, Krishna has created these perfect samples. In the universal level, the things happen in a different way. On the bodily level, the things happen in a different scale. So today, Narad Muni is telling all these points to Prahlad Maharaj so that Prahlad Maharaj can be aware of his position, constitutional position, as being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Because until we are aware of our constitutional position, there is no scope of becoming Krishna conscious. We can't be Krishna conscious if we are not aware of the minute soul and the Supreme Lord. Our society is called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. To be conscious of Krishna, to be aware of Krishna, that is the final aim. What is the aim of the members of the Society of Krishna Consciousness? The final aim is to become conscious of Krishna. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. In fact, in one lecture, His Holiness Narayana Maharaj was telling that actually true consciousness means Krishna consciousness. And if I say consciousness means Krishna consciousness. As George Harrison mentions in his book, We are all searching for Krishna. Only thing he says, some of us know it and some of us don't know it. Similarly, we are all actually conscious of Krishna. But some of us are aware of it and some of us are not aware of this fact. So today I was thinking to deal little more in this topic of presence of Krishna or how to be aware of Krishna as a Paramatma or Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna in our lives. Krishna says, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. Everywhere Lord Krishna is present. In all activities, he is controlling everything. Actually, when we offer obeisances to another Vaishnava, we offer obeisances to Vaishnava. But also it is written that you are offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord, present as Paramatma within the heart of Vaishnava as well. So actually, if we see, a devotee as he advances more and more in spiritual life, he also becomes more and more aware of Krishna in his daily practical day-to-day behavior. I was once, and actually, this awareness of Krishna is going to give rise to one very important quality, which is very much required for advancing in spiritual life. Tunadapi suni chena taroriva sahishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We can, if we forget Krishna, immediately a false ego is going to come up. That is false ego. True ego means I am servant, I am part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore that saying is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yahar Krishna tahar nai mayar adhikar. The moment we forget Krishna, immediately a false conception, I am something separate from Krishna, is going to spring in our consciousness. And immediately all the effects of the energy of maya are going to come. To be actually humble, we have to always remember Krishna. Because the moment we forget Krishna, we will think I am something. And that means we are not humble. So, to achieve even true humility, one has to be fully Krishna conscious. When one is Krishna conscious, then only he can be humble. Both statements are like true. To become Krishna conscious, we have to be humble. And actually only after becoming humble, we can be, both runs parallel. Actually both are achieved together. Both are achieved, Krishna consciousness and humility. So this humility means, I am a small, insignificant soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Completely, as we say in our Manas Puja during deity worship, completely separate from this gross and subtle material body. So one should not identify anywhere with his gross and subtle material body. Because he identifies with his own body, that means he is identifying himself separate from Krishna. That means he is not completely humble, and that means he is not completely Krishna conscious. So these all follow in a logical way. And therefore, in our practice, sadhana bhakti, sadhana means practice. So sadhana bhakti means we have to achieve, we have to practice something. And in our sadhana bhakti, in our day-to-day life, we have to practice to be always aware of Krishna. See Krishna's hand in whatever happens in this universe. In this universe is full of duality. Yes, it is full of duality. There is heat, there is cold. Sometimes we get placed to sit in a train. Sometimes you have to stand for 2-3 hours. Sometimes there is too spicy prasad. Sometimes there is very blunt prasad. Sometimes we are in a traffic jam. A distance which requires only half hour takes 2.5 hours. Or sometimes we get free roads. So these dualities and many more of these types will exist. But you should understand ultimately, Lord Shri Krishna is controlling, and we have to get free from the effects of this duality of anger and joy. Now these are the effects. Anger, if things don't happen. What is that oneness that can be free? Dualities exist. Sometimes there is a traffic jam and I am late, and sometimes we enjoy a good ride. So what is that oneness which is free from this duality? That oneness is awareness of Krishna. Krishna is controlling everything. In both the situations of traffic jam or free road, of getting a place to sit in the train or not getting a place to sit. Actually in this material world, as His Holiness Bhakti Dhir Damodar Maharaj, he said, this material world means always something is lacking. Very good definition. In this material world, always something is lacking. So, that actually happens. If we are not Krishna conscious, we will be influenced by the joy and sorrows of this world, and which turn very significantly. 1 or 2 weeks back, I was traveling. I had personally experienced. I was traveling from Palghar to Bombay in the peak hour time. I was at Virar at around 8:30 to catch a train to Grant Road. 8:30 in the morning. And that is like peak hour office time, and I had to come. And then I had one of my luggage and one of another devotee's luggage to be brought. It was actually my mother's luggage, but she said, I cannot carry, so you take. So I had two full bags with me at 8:20 morning at Virar station. So I completely gave up the idea that I will struggle and get in the train. I was completely satisfied that if I enter the train, I will be happy. Leave off getting a place to even sit or stand. And then I enter, some of the train came, all the people rushed in. They also got seat or not, because the people from the previous stations only, they sit in to go in opposite direction. So all these things happened. When everything was settled, I picked up my bags peacefully, tried to go in. But actually, I could just hardly put one or two steps inside the train. I could not go more, but I said, I can't stand in this passageway with all this luggage. I had to somehow or other, and I had to go till Grant Road. I had to somehow or other squeeze in. Somehow or other, with great request, please give side, everything. I went in. I was able to put one bag on the top. Another bag was put below the seat. And somehow that I could just enter and take a turn and just stand there. That was the space that was available for me. And I was standing. I said, that's okay, I'm satisfied. I could enter and I'm having a place to stand. And then suddenly before the train started, a man who was just sitting next to me, before the train started, a few seconds, he just got up and left. So all the people who were before me standing, they were standing and I got a place to sit. But I said, it's going on, let's see what happens. And next station came, Nala Sopara. At that station, the whole train got packed. And actually to sit was miserable because all the bad smell of the people standing everywhere was coming to my nose. So I said, if sitting for 1 hour is so miserable, although I got to a place to sit. Was so much tight and so much people close by and all their bad smell of the same pants and the shirts, I don't know, whatever it is. And then ultimately Bandra came and just stood up. So it was a joy to stand because the fresh air was coming. So the man said, "Baithoge to bura hawa aayega, khada hoge to hawa aayega, to khada rehna padega." So this is the material world. Always something is lacking. If you get a place to sit, you are lacking fresh breath. And if you get a breath, then you are lacking place to sit. So actually we have to not get influenced by this duality in this world. Because this world will be full of all these dualities and difficulties. We have to just observe the Krishna's control in all the situations. If we observe Krishna's control in all the situations, we are completely peaceful and happy. Krishna wants me to get a place to sit, which was difficult. For me, with two bags, to enter the train was difficult, and I got a place to sit. That's okay. Krishna wants me to stand for an hour or two. That's as well. If we observe and we are in touch with Krishna's desire and plan, then nothing in this world can unsettle us from joy of Krishna consciousness. Actually, I was studying this, Bhikshu Gita, the song of Avanti Brahman. Just last week. And there it is said, Lord Krishna is telling Uddhav, there is hardly a saintly person in this material world who can protect his mind from becoming unsettled when someone speaks insulting and these bad words to him. He said, hardly a saintly person is there. Krishna himself is telling to Uddhav, because he says, the insulting words pierce the heart more deeper than the weapons, and not only that, they remain there. They don't go away. Weapons can be removed. But the insulting words, they remain in the heart. So therefore, and I read this one night, and then the next day I was traveling in the train, next early morning, and suddenly some loose comments were coming on me. So I said, yes, Krishna is testing. Yesterday I read that one has to learn all these loose comments. They are saying, so this material world, we see in today's purport, Prabhupada is telling that we have, or Narad Muni is telling, basically same instructions come up, that we have to be Krishna conscious. We have to see in all the situations, actually Lord Krishna is completely controlling the situation. And that was what made Prahlad Maharaj fearless. And that is what said in one Upanishad, Bhayam Dvitiya Abhinivesheta Syat. The root cause of fear is to forget Krishna. Actually all fear, anger, frustration, all these things, the root cause is to forget Krishna. If we are into this one understanding of Krishna is the supreme controller at every moment of everything, then absolutely no one can disturb ourselves. And therefore in this Bhikshu Gita, this Avanti Brahman says, the root cause of sorrow or misery is not the situations around, the planets, the people, the demigods, the time. He says the root cause of misery is the mind. If mind is Krishna consciousness, if mind is Krishna conscious, if the ego is Krishna conscious, what can anyone else do? What can the planets do? What can the situations, the weather, the demigods, anyone do? If mind is Krishna conscious, no one can do anything. And therefore, that's what is being taught over here. And one has to learn to become Krishna conscious. And actually, this becoming Krishna conscious is reflected in lot way in our day-to-day behavior also. A devotee, he learns to respect each and everything, not only devotees, but each and everything, creation of Krishna. He sees everywhere is Krishna. Everything is energy of Krishna. Actually, I was once sitting with His Grace Vraj Vihari Prabhu, and in his association, some nice good points came out. And we were discussing how we actually in the previous times, the culture was that people used to respect everything. And we were discussing how we, because most of us have become students, rebellious student life, and then become brahmacharis. That cultural aspect has lost. So we are telling that previously we used to hear that we should not touch anything with our feet. Even specifically it was told to us, we should not even touch the broom, which is used to clean the things, not to speak of anything else. I said, but we have forgotten, and especially I was telling Vraj Vihari Prabhu, in the ashram many times we want to go into the bathroom, we kick the door, or we just slightly, but we don't, many times we don't open with the hand. In fact, this is mentioned in the GBC manual of deity worship also. That anything that can be done with the hand should not be done with the legs. That's mentioned in GBC manual of deity worship. Sometimes we are in the bathroom and there is a bucket. Instead of bending and moving the bucket around, we just move with the leg. Nowadays, so many things are happening. So therefore, I was thinking that this shows some disrespect towards that energy of Krishna. That means we are little bit not Krishna conscious in all these behaviors. So, everywhere there is many times we, like in deity room, we are doing this puja, there are mats. We just move with our legs. So a person, as he advances in Krishna consciousness, he becomes more and more aware of Krishna. And he learns to respect. It's a respectful behavior to pick up something with hand and then do the needful rather than with legs. Actually, in the modern age, they become expert. They get more and more work to the legs, and that is called expertise. But in the Vedic culture, this gives it to humility. Just kicking something or picking something respectfully and putting it down. So this is Krishna consciousness. One person should become aware of Krishna. At the same time, we should also learn to bring it into our daily life, into finer details of everything. Just like everything has to be respected. What to speak of animate things, all other living entities, even inanimate things. And we see this prevalent everywhere in Vedic culture. After the yajnas were performed, yes, the brahmanas were fed first. But it said even the chandalas and the, all the lower types of people, even the cats and dogs were fed. It was not that only brahmanas are fed and everyone else is fasting. No. In all the Vedic performances, it was seen that everyone is fed properly. They may be fed a little later. They may be fed on the outside in their own position. But they were fed. Prabhupada says in the previously the ashramas, they would keep some milk outside the ashram for the tiger to come and drink and go. There was another reason the tiger won't come into the ashram and disturb. But still, he was also fed. Not that because tiger should not disturb, we should kill him out. That is modern culture. Modern culture is, if someone is disturbing, we should kill him out. But Vedic culture is, someone is disturbing, we should provide him what he wants and not allow him to disturb us. So that was the Vedic culture. Because the ingredient feeling was that everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna is present everywhere. In the animals, in the animate things, in the inanimate things, as we are hearing. Krishna is present everywhere and the souls are present. Krishna's energy is present everywhere. Therefore, I wouldn't go long time because you are waiting and Krishna is present within you, waiting for me to end. So anyway, but I would like to end in the conclusion by telling there are two types of awareness of Krishna. Those who are not so advanced, they feel Krishna's presence in a controlling way. Like Krishna is controlling our life. Now, those are not spiritually advanced. They think Krishna is forcefully controlling our life. They accept Krishna's control, but not with complete joy. In fact, feeling of Krishna controlling us is also not very high level of Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada is giving the example, if we are voluntarily following the laws of God, we won't feel Krishna's control. For example, the child is always under the control of the parents. But when he is doing things which are sanctioned by the parents don't control him minutely. They allow him to do go here, play some things. When he wants to do something against the desire of parents, then the child feels the control of parents more apparently. Yeah, you cannot go there. That control is more apparent. Similarly, when the souls, out of loving attraction to Krishna, they are behaving, they don't feel the control of Krishna. But when the souls want to go against the desire of Krishna, then the Krishna has to control them forcefully. Prabhupada gives another analogy. Just like he says, a pious law-abiding citizen, when he sees a policeman, he sees as a well-wisher and friend. When a criminal sees the policeman, he sees as a symbol of punishment. So both are seeing the policeman. He says, those who are enthusiastic about government policies feel not that the government is controlling them, but government is protecting them. Those who are enthusiastic of government policies, they say government is protecting them. But those who want to break, they say government is controlling us. Thus, he says the Lord Krishna is seen as controller. So those who are not so much enthusiastic to become Krishna conscious, they say Krishna is controller. They say Krishna is forcing me to take birth. Krishna is forcing me to become old. Krishna is many times forcing me to happen things against my desire. So those who are not so much Krishna conscious, they feel the control of Krishna. But those, he says, these are the people who are not enchanted by beauty of and pastimes of Krishna. But those who are fully in love with Krishna, they focus on Krishna's sublime attractive features. And because of their relationship with Krishna, they don't notice the controlling power of Krishna. Because such people, such advanced devotees, they are fully enchanted by Krishna's beauty and love. They behave in such a way that they don't notice Krishna's controlling power. So, this is the final point which I was telling to tell, that in our life, we should not only become Krishna conscious all the times, even in our minute dealings. But also, we should try to be completely attracted by Krishna's beauty and attractive features. In this way, we will not feel a burden of being in material world. At the same time, we will be completely free from dualities. Hare Krishna. It's quite late, so I won't go any further. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Also, there is one announcement. His Grace Gaurang Prabhu and His Grace Govind Prabhu today, and Radhesham Prabhu also. All three of them are today living to spread this message of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna in various parts of the world. So we can pray that they go and come after a successful preaching tour and we can express our joy in our traditional way, loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!